We're going to be looking at did I even give you guys did I even give anybody the message? Where did Mike go? Kezi, I need you. I need somebody. I need help. Somebody knows computers. It's called the Talents. Hooray, Yeshua. Did this message, I think, a week ago at First Baptist, but God really put it on my heart. That is something that we need to hear here as well at Hooray Yeshua. It's every time that I speak it, I get convicted again. And, you know, when I do a message, it's not for you guys, it's for me. You know, you just happen to be hearing it. Because everything that we speak, everything that the Lord gives us to speak from his word, it's for all of us, you know. We should be just vessels of his Holy Spirit that he works through. The talents dash of Yeshua. And if you can open it right up. And so if you have your Bible with you, hopefully you do, turn to Matthew 25. Thank you, cousin. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Oh, good. It's even working. Good. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that as we look at this passage this morning, that you will give us insight and understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it is your Holy Spirit that you have given us to give us understanding of your word. And so we ask for that understanding this morning in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so these servants are given talents. And as you can see, one of the servants is given 5. Another is given 2, and another is only given 1. And I have to admit to you that in the past, when I've heard this parable, long time ago, I've heard this parable many times growing up in the church, especially as a kid, but even as a young adult, I always thought of a talent as like being a coin, you know, like one coin, and then, you know, so one guy was given 5 gold coins, and another was given 2, and another was given, you know. As we heard this morning, and as I'm going to show you in a minute, that is not the case. That is not the case. In fact, a talent is about 60 to 100 pounds of silver or gold. So we're just going to take it in the middle and we'll just say 80 pounds, okay? A talent is about 80 pounds of gold. Or silver. If it's 80 pounds of silver, that would be worth today $25,000. The interest that you could get from that every year would be $1,226. If it was gold, 80 pounds of gold today is $1.5 million. So let's just assume for this purpose that this master gave all of these, his servants, talents of gold. You do the math here, okay? To one he gave 5. To one he gave 2. To one of them he only gave 1. Please give me 1 talent of gold. The hole to bury that 1 talent would be 9.5 cubic feet. Even the 1 talent is incredibly significant. I mean, the first time I did this message, I just talked about it being 60 to 100 pounds of silver or gold, which is, you know, that was like, wow, you know. But when you really put it out and what it's worth today. So this servant who only received the 1 talent, who had an attitude about that and took his 1 talent and buried it in the ground, he would have had to make a hole that was about 9.5 cubic feet. That's a lot of digging. We're talking like an underground vault here, you know. It's ridiculous. So But the point of this is we do the same thing, don't we? God has given each one of us talents. Now, we're going to talk about how that applies to us today. Well, first of all, what he hasn't given me is one of these talents in gold. But that's okay. He's given every single one of us talents. Thank you. And the Lord has given every one of us, everybody here who's listening to me right now, who's breathing, he's given you the gift of life. Everybody here is alive, right? Okay? That's like getting that one talent. That's how much, I mean, it's worth so much from God's perspective. You and I have been given life. To some, he gives a lot of advantages. To some, he gives less advantages. To some, he may give them a very few advantages in life. But the gift of life itself is still significant. If you and I have been given life, that is a significant gift from God. Now, like I said, to some, he has given more advantages. You might have been born into a family that were already believers, who already had a relationship with God, and you grew up in that family, and so you had an understanding of the one true God from the very beginning, from when you could start to really understand and think and all of that, and maybe you became a believer at an early age. And so that's a significant, that's an advantage on top of life. On top of that first gift he gave you, he gave you this advantage. Some might have been born into homes where, you know, your parents had some money or wealth or some influence or whatever. Well, once again, that's an advantage, okay? But every single one of us has been given at least one talent. We've been given life. Now, the question is, whether we've been given seemingly lots of advantages or a few advantages or hardly any, we have still been given life. And we have a responsibility for what we do with that gift, that talent that God has given us. We do not have the responsibility to look at somebody else and say, well, Lord, you gave them way more advantages than me. No. You can do that, but all that's going to cause is the wrong attitude, like this one servant who only got one talent. You know, he couldn't look in at just at the significance of that one talent and thank his master for that. What did he do? Instead, he got angry, he got bitter, and he buried it. Because those other servants had gotten more talents than he had. They had better advantages. We find we just got done talking about Purim. And Esther is promoted because of her beauty, inside and out, which are gifts of God. Okay, now God had made her a beautiful woman. That was an advantage. She was given life, but she was given another talent. A beauty. A beautiful woman. She would have had to be a beautiful woman for the king of all Persia to like her over all the rest, you know. And we understand God also did a work there, you know. But the point that I'm trying to make is, what did she do with this talent that God had given her? And when I say talent, let me make sure you understand. We're not just talking about, you know, I can whistle like Malachi through both sides of my mouth, you know, and or I have the talent to, you know, I don't know, think of it to juggle or something. We're not talking that type of talent, okay? Obviously, in the parable, it's talking about money, but we're also not talking about money either. Okay, that's a parable. But what is that saying? It's saying there's things of value that God has given us from the very beginning, starting out with life, and in some cases, other advantages. Some people are born very beautiful, like Esther was. They grow up, they have beauty from man's perspective. But that's an advantage that needs to be not used for ourselves, but used to glorify God. And that's what Esther did. She used this advantage that she had been given of this beauty to glorify God. Mordecai. Mordecai is favored by finding out about a plot to kill the king, but not yet rewarded. Many times we have good things that happen to us that we think are because of our goodness, but they have nothing to do with us. They are part of God's plan. The promotions that you and I get, sometimes because of natural talent, sometimes because of things that we've learned over a period of time, we become experienced in something, but maybe God promotes you at your job or promotes you in some other way. Well, that is not for us to just use for our own benefit or for our own glory, but to use for his glory. Everything, we need to look at every good thing that we receive and even some of the things that we think are not so good. Think about people that were born with very few advantages. The one that I mentioned last week was Helen Keller. I can't even imagine being born blind and deaf. Both. I mean, two major ways, the main two ways that we communicate. She couldn't from her birth. Yeah, just imagine that. I think it was from her birth, right? Yeah. Just imagine that. No communication, and yet she overcame that. She turned those two disadvantages into advantages to where we're still talking about her today because it was so incredible. Not to mention she was a very strong believer in the Lord. But we see this type of thing where even our disadvantages, if we give them to the Lord, can be turned into something for his glory. In fact, they can be turned into talents, good things. To each he gives according to his ability. God only gives us what we can handle. We have a tendency to covet other people's talents and success, their advantages in life, but we should be content and do the best with what God has given us. Not in our own strength or in our own power, but do the best by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot blame God for the way we choose to use the life he has given us. This is very important. Yes, we have advantages and some have disadvantages, whatever you want to call them. But we all have a choice on what we're going to do with that. God gave it to us. He'll take responsibility for his part. But we can't blame him for our choice that we make. If we play the victim and we go, but God, you know, look at all these disadvantages in my life and this is why I can't follow you. Because you know, even from the beginning, I was in the hole. I had all these disadvantages. If you have life, even from the beginning, 1.5 million, okay? You weren't in the hole. If you have life, you already had an incredible advantage from the very start. But it's our choice on what we're going to do with that. We can look back at our life, both our decisions and other people's decisions, and we can look at bad things, and we can focus on that and say, well, God, I have a right to bury that. Because look at what you have done. Look at what you have allowed. And if we take that approach, not only will we not have joy in our life, not only will we not be able to fulfill God's will and what he has, but we will get the response that the master gave that guy with one talent that buried it at the end here. And we're going to talk about that. However, you and I have a choice. We can say, you know what? In spite of the disadvantages, Lord, I thank you for the advantages that you gave me. I thank you that you have given me life, and I'm going to live this life to glorify you. And every good thing you give me, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Because you know what? Every time we do that, what does he do? He gives us something more. Every good thing we give back to him, he prospers it. He makes it grow. That's the awesome part. We think, oh my goodness, I have to release this. I have to release control. But in releasing control, we get blessed even more. when we give it to him. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So the 3 servants all used their talents. The 1st and 2nd servant used their talents to gain more, doubling their master's money. The 3rd servant dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So the question here is, how do we use the gift of life and the advantages God has given us? We can live our life to love and glorify our Creator, or to please ourselves and our own interests. We can fulfill God's plan for our lives and thrive instead of just survive. I know, a little bit of, you know, thrive instead of survive. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, but the point here is, what are you and I doing with this gift of life that God has given us? What are we doing with those advantages? Some that we had at the beginning, some that maybe we've accumulated along the way. They're all, everything good comes from God. And we have a choice to take that and try to keep it for ourselves, basically digging a hole and hiding it in the ground, because that's futility, okay? Even if you're using it for yourself, that's still like digging that hole and putting it in the ground, because it's not accomplishing anything for God's kingdom. But if we are taking those things and turning them back over to the Lord and say, Lord, you gave me this. Here it is. I give it back to you. You do with it what you want to do in my life. Then we're going to start to see multiplication happen, because that's the way God is. He gives us a blessing. As we thank him for that, as we use it for his glory, he gives us more blessings and more blessings and more blessings. But at some point, sometimes we jump off the track or jump off the train, don't we? Okay, thanks, God. Woo! This is great. And what happens to those blessings? Many times they turn to curses, because we're the ones now trying to make it happen instead of letting God do it. So we all have a choice of what we do with those talents that God has given us. We can choose, and the best thing, the beginning of all of this, the first way that we give our life back to the Lord, for all of us in this room today, is this right here. We can choose to accept the free gift of salvation offered through Yeshua Messiah and let his Spirit take us through the heights and the valleys of this life in a triumph-filled procession till we see him face to face and enter into eternal life. Or we can live a life of futility and spiritual blindness that results in eternal death. You and I have that choice. We have a choice. You know, when I wrote this, letting Yeshua Messiah, let his Spirit take us through the heights, the good times, and the valleys, the struggles of this life. But there's a passage in Scripture that says he always leads us in a triumphal procession. Always. Whether we're going over the heights or whether we're going through the valleys, he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ Jesus, in Messiah Yeshua. Isn't that awesome? And you and I can choose to walk every day in that triumphal procession. Whether we're going over a height or whether we're going through a valley, if we're going with him, we are triumphant. If we're going with him, we are more than conquerors. Doesn't matter what the situation or what the struggle. If we're trying to do it in our own strength, yeah, we're going to fail. We're going to get discouraged. Not saying you never get discouraged when you're walking with the Lord, because we do, but when we have him with us, we can give it to him, and he lifts us up. That's why it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. But that's a choice to humble ourselves. It's a choice to give these advantages over to the Lord. That's a choice. It's a choice to give our life over to the Lord. This is the first choice when we accept Yeshua, but that choice keeps going on and on for us as believers. Every day, what does Paul say? I die daily. Rav Shaul, if you want to call it his Hebrew name. I die daily. Every single day, he made the choice to die to that old nature and walk in the Spirit. And that's really what this is about. That's how you and I cause those advantages, those blessings that have happened in our life to grow and multiply. Why? Because it's him working through us. It's him doing the work. That's why it's successful. Truly successful. We're not talking about successful from man's standpoint. You know what? You may live your whole life for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, and never seem successful from man's standpoint. But let me ask you a question. If we're blessed, at least 80 years down here of not getting the success of man and success for all eternity in front of the Lord, in front of everybody for all eternity, being told, well done, good and faithful servant, and having that status for all eternity? Or do you want a little bit down here and nothing when you stand before the Lord? Weigh that out a little bit. What matters more? See, what's awesome about the Lord is usually, and we see this all throughout Scripture, don't we? When you and I turn our life over to him down here, the result is it's also seen here as well and in eternity. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What do we see over and over again? Those that really turned their heart over to the Lord and did his will, they got, yes, blessed for all eternity, but they also got noticed down here too. Because that's the way God is. But that's not what they were looking for. They were looking to please him. And that should be our goal, is to please him, to glorify him, not to please men. That is so fleeting anyways. One day they like you, the next day they don't. It's very fickle. People are fickle. In case you haven't noticed, God is not. And he tells us how we can make him happy. It's very simple. Trust and obey. It's not even really that hard. Well, it is, isn't it? It's horribly hard, isn't it, to trust him and obey. For some reason, for us, it's really, really difficult. At least for me. Maybe you guys are really good at it. Trust him. That's part of the way we show we love him. Trust. And be obedient to the things he tells us to do. Not just the Torah. Yes, the Torah, but not just the Torah. What he tells us to do with his Spirit every single day. Be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Trust him and obey. And sometimes he tells us to do things that are kind of crazy. Trust him and obey. He's not going to tell us anything that goes against his word. If it's from the Holy Spirit, it will never go against God's word. But he will tell us things that are outside our comfort zone sometimes. Trust him and obey. It's okay. Everything he gives us, think about it. Everything he gives us belongs to him. We just have to acknowledge that and give it back. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. Oh, the 5 talents. Okay. So both of those, they came back and they said, you gave us 5, you gave us 2. And we have gained 2 more besides them. And his Lord said to him, actually says to both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, when we look at this parable many times, we look at these people as far as what they did, you know, their good deeds or their good works or whatever. But that is not the point here. Why is the servant with five talents able to get five more? Why is the servant with two talents able to get two more? Well, it doesn't really tell you, does it? It doesn't say what they did to do that. But from the perspective of the Lord in your relationship and for us as believers, I'll tell you how that happens. The way you and I expand the talents that God has given us, the advantages and the life God has given us, is by surrendering it back to Him and letting the Holy Spirit do the work in us. So it's not our work, it's His work through us. And that's why it is blessed. That's why it multiplies. You know, every single week I see this happen in my life. Every single week. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, wow, I'm so righteous and holy and every single week that God just... No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying every single week I see the contrast. I see the things that I try to do in my flesh go... And the things that I yield to the Lord and I do in the Spirit expand, grow, multiply. God blesses them. You'd think I'd get the hint after a while and stop trying to do things in the flesh. But you know, that takes a while. I think Dell's maybe learned it in Gene. They're old enough now. So, you know. Just messing with you guys. We get better at it, maybe. But, actually, the closer we get to God, the less we think we're better at it. So we look better at it from other people's perspective, but from our own perspective, we're still having to learn to trust and obey until we breathe our last breath. And none of us are going to stand before the Lord one day and go, yeah, I'm waiting for it. Come on, Lord, tell me all those good things I did. No, we're going to be scared to death. We're going to be like... Remember how you felt when you knew you did something wrong when you were a kid and your parents called you in there? And for me, it was all, Samuel Richard Walker, get in here. You know, and my dad used to do this to me, and I do it to my children too. Sometimes I say, Kezia Rose Walker, get in here. And she comes in. She used to, anyways. Not anymore. She's 18 now. Then she's like, whatever, Dad. I'll be there when I feel like it. Well, I doesn't quite say it that way. But anyways, well, she was a little kid with her chubby little cheeks. Not because she was fat, just because she was cute. Cute, chubby little cheeks. She would come in, and she'd be like this. And sometimes, you know, you do that just because you want to get that response, and then you say, I love you, or you do something nice for them. And I think it's going to be similar to that. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're all going to be like, and He's going to say, I love you. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. If you want to hear that, and I know I want to hear that, then live for Him. That's the secret. And how do we live for Him? Not in our own strength. Turn all our life, our talents, everything back over to Him and let Him live in us and through us. Because that's what He's pleased with. Do we understand that God cannot be pleased with anything less than His own work? Nothing else pleases Him. He's not ever going to be pleased with our work done in our power. That's what Cain tried to do, right? He brought his own sacrifice that he thought was pleasing to God. Abel's heart was, Lord, I'm going to give you the best because you've given all of this. You deserve it all. And here, I'm giving it back to you. It's all yours anyways. And that should be our heart. Lord, here you go. You've given me life. You've given me advantages. You've given me whatever, the ministries, whatever. It's all yours. You work through me to accomplish your work and your will because that will be what is pleasing to him. And so really, it's not about how good we did. It's about how much we let him do through us. How much good he did through us by the power of his Spirit. That's what he's going to be looking at. Were we ones to say, Lord, I surrender, you take control, you do your work, you do your will, you accomplish what you want to accomplish in my life? Or were we desperately trying to please him in our own strength, or maybe not even caring about pleasing him because we thought it was too hard, so we gave up. And we just did our own thing, and we felt we'd have an excuse. Well done. Good and faithful servant. And notice what he says. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to expand it even more. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So how are we taking care of the life that God has given us? Have we surrendered our life to him by receiving salvation through faith in Yeshua? That's just the beginning. That's the start. Are we living our lives to glorify God and accomplish his will? You cannot do that without holiness. They come hand in hand. It's not just about, well, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit today, do all these good things for God, but I'm going to go back and live like hell. No, it doesn't work that way. He is pleased with clean vessels. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And it says in God's word that we should not allow that temple to be defiled. And if we do allow that temple to be defiled, we need to confess it and get it clean again. Because he is only pleased with clean vessels that he can work through. Holiness goes hand in hand. Once again, holiness is not by my own strength and power. I don't become holy by my work. It is a choice, but it's not my strength to be holy. It's him living in me. If I'm letting the Holy Spirit live through me, I'm not going to want to sin. I'm not going to be going after sinful things. I'm not going to continue after those things. So we have to be honest with ourselves. When I'm sinning, when you're sinning, when we're choosing to sin, when we even enjoy it, we're not walking in the Spirit. Period. There's no middle ground there. If I'm choosing to sin, if I'm doing something, I'm not walking in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit doesn't sin. That's what we need to be confessing. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we're sinning, we have to confess it to him. And he is faithful to his work that he has done. This is a very important thing for us to understand. He's not being faithful and just to us in our work because we haven't done anything worthy. He's being faithful and just to the work that he did on the cross. He paid for our sins. He already took care of it. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. He's already paid for every sin you committed in the past, any sin that you've committed in the present, and anything you're going to do in the future. Yeshua has already paid for that sin. I hope so, because otherwise I'm in big trouble. Because most of the sins that I've committed have been since I received Yeshua. Some people have told me, oh, well, all the sins before you receive Yeshua, then you got to look. What? No. All sin. That's why in 1 John it says we have to confess our sins. It also says, he who thinks he has not sinned is a liar. Makes God a liar or says he hasn't sinned. Every single one of us. He's talking to believers there. Don't ever allow the enemy to do either one of these things. Tell you that your sin is so great that it can't be forgiven, or tell you that you've reached some plane of righteousness where you don't sin anymore. Both of those are lies from Satan. You and I have a constant struggle with that old nature and sin. But that's why Paul says, I die daily. I have to keep dying. I have to keep dying. I have to keep surrendering to the Lord and letting the Holy Spirit live and walk through me, work through me. And yes, there's times that we experience some peace and joy and it keeps going, but that doesn't mean we're living perfectly. You know, why do we do that with our feelings and our emotions? We focus on those, and we let them guide us through our life. Well, I feel bad today, so the Lord must not be with me, and Satan's really attacking me. Is my faith based on my feeling? No. It's faith. It's not based on feeling. Faith, by its very definition, is not about feeling. It's about trusting God. If you trust God and you push through in faith, you will get the feeling. It'll come. That joy, that peace, everything, it'll come. It's about faith, not about how we feel. A feeling can show that there's something wrong, but let's stop listening all the time to our emotions and our feelings. Because if you do that, you live your life kind of like this, right? Feel good today. Oh, I must be good. Everything's going great with the Lord. I feel bad today. Oh, what did I do wrong? I'm horrible. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Now, maybe when you're feeling good, maybe that's not really from the Lord. Maybe that's just you thinking everything's okay. And maybe when you're feeling horrible, maybe that is from the Lord, but not because you're doing something wrong, but because he wants you to trust him. Why do we always say every bad, quote, bad thing is Satan's fault? I'm not saying it's the Lord's fault either. But couldn't it just be our flesh sometimes? No, we don't like to think about that, do we? We want to blame Satan for all our sin. Oh, the devil, he tempted me. He took this away. He attacked me. I hear this all the time from people. The devil's really attacking me today. Really? You're that important? Satan took time to focus just on you? Because you realize that Satan is not like God. He's not everywhere at the same time, right? He's not all-knowing. Satan can only be one place at one time. God is omniscient. God is all-powerful. Satan is not. You really think that Satan, you were so important that Satan himself took time to attack you? I doubt it. I'm not that important. None of us are. He's got way too much to handle. You know, some people talk about God like that. That drives me nuts. Well, God is too busy to listen to my prayer. No, he isn't. He can handle everything. He's never too busy. God is not worried about what's going on. God is not scared of ISIS. Do you understand that? God can go, and ISIS is, and he can do that with America too. God is not worried about anything that you and I are worried about today. But Satan is really worried. He's really worried. Oh, he is worried all the time. He's worried every single time one of us starts to get it. You ever start to get it? You ever start to actually understand maybe a little bit about what Scripture is saying, and you're getting excited, and you're like, wow, yeah, I do have all power because of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Wow, I don't have to listen to those lies anymore. Oh my goodness, that's like emergency, okay? That's like, woo, 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 red alert, revival might break out. Why don't we see it that way? No, most of the time, the enemy, when I say the enemy, I don't mean Satan himself, but all those little under demons, okay? They are constantly keeping us worried and sidetracked and, oh, when that doesn't work, let's throw a little sin in there. That sin that easily besets. Ah, got them again. Now they're going to be churning like this for a while. Or let's put a little pain. Oh, yeah, a little pain in there. Let's get them thinking about that instead of about the victory they can have through Messiah Yeshua. And they sidetrack us so easy. We're easily sidetracked. And we're so fickle in our love. I love you, Lord. I love you. After service, somebody cuts us off. Lord, how can people like that have to cut me off? How can my whole day has to be ruined? Our whole day is ruined by somebody else's bad attitude? Wow, that was fast, wasn't it? Power of the Holy Spirit, living in you, living in me, should affect every part of our life. And when we do that, everything starts to multiply. The good things in our life start to multiply. The same as the opposite. It's pretty much the true, too. It's true. Well, I can't even talk now. But it's also true. When we focus on those things, those bad things, negative things, when we say, you know what, oh man, life is just too hard, that begins to multiply and compound pretty, doesn't it? We start to then, all of a sudden, we get under this huge weight, and we're walking around carrying all these burdens that we don't even need to carry. I mean, some of you are concerned with people that you don't even need to be concerned with. Some of us are concerned with events happening in the world. And we get so upset about it. And we have no control over it whatsoever. Why get upset about it? Why let that ruin your day? We know the one who is fully in control. And you know what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do have control over it. Not to worry about it. Not to figure it out and to solve the world's problems, but to pray. That's the control, because the one we're talking about has full control. If we begin to see that, we would start to live our lives completely different. And one of the key things that you and I would have, this went somewhere totally, we probably won't even finish this message, and it's okay. One of the key things you and I will have if we let the Holy Spirit live in us, is joy. Every single day, you can wake up with that little half smile on your face. Going, Lord, you're in charge today. You're in charge of me. You're in charge of everything I go through. And I'm going to acknowledge that and once again, die to my flesh and walk in your Spirit. And Lord, I'm excited about where you're going to take me today. I'm excited about what you're going to do in this clay vessel today. How you are going to be glorified and honored. How your will be accomplished. And you know what happens when we do that? We get that little smile on our face. And people go, what's wrong with them? Why are they always happy? Why are they always happy? And when they're not happy, it doesn't last very long. When they do something wrong, they admit it. It's like they have no pride, no self-respect at all. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't that be neat? To have no self-respect at all? Self-respect is way overrated. The respect we need to have is God respect. If you and I have God respect and we understand we're the temples of the Holy Spirit, it'll look like self-respect out there. But not when it comes to pride. When it comes to pride, there just won't be any or very little. And every time it starts to pop up, that's the flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause us to be prideful. And when you and I get offended, what is it usually about? Pride. Somebody stepped on our toes. Poor lady over here. Barbara, I stepped on her toes as she came out. I was saying Shabbat Shalom, and I stepped on her. I'm like, I've stepped on your toes already today. I haven't even tried. But you know what? When somebody steps on our toes, on our emotions, on whatever, it's our pride that lashes out. And that's a sure thing right there. If I get offended or you get offended, the problem is here. There might be a problem there too. Maybe the way they said it or whatever, but that's their problem. And that's, but if I'm offended by it, the problem's here. And that's what I need to take to the Lord and give to him. So let's take all those talents and those good things that God has given us. Don't bury it. If you've been given life, you've been given something incredibly significant. $1.5 million. Well, if you've been given life, you've been given something way better than that. Because just that advantage of life can be taken, given to the Lord, and like it says at the end of this parable, you could have at least put it in the bank and got interest out of it. The Lord, the master says to that wicked servant, he calls him a wicked and lazy servant. We don't have time to get to that, but wicked and lazy servant. None of us want to stand before the Lord and be called a wicked and lazy servant. I kind of have felt that a few times though. Down here. And that's as a warning to say, if you keep doing this, you're going to be a wicked and lazy servant. We need to take that as discipline from the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. If he puts it in your heart that there's something you're doing, if you feel convicted, don't sit there and wallow in it and go, oh, I'm a horrible, terrible person. I can never blah, 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 blah. No, give it to the Lord. Let's stop being wicked and lazy servants. And you know, when it says the least you could have done is put it in the bank, you know what I see with that, the parallel that I see? The least we can be doing. Because remember what that wicked and lazy servant says. He says, I knew you were a hard man. You like to sow, you expect us to sow seed and reap where you didn't sow seed. You didn't plant that seed. You didn't plant it, but you expect to reap from that. You want us to go out and do that. How dare you? Go into all the world and preach the good news to every nation. That's what he tells us to do. Yes, that's us going out and spreading seed where he didn't get to go. But he tells us to do it. And the wicked and lazy servant says, you were a hard man. I knew you would tell us to do that and expect to receive benefit back from that. So I buried it, and here's what you gave me. Here it is. You can have it back now. See, I took care of it in the ground. I'm just giving it back to you. You gave me life. I'm giving it back to you. Here's my life. But not in the right way. Not here's my life. Do with me whatever you want. But here you go. You got it back now. And what does the master say? You could have at least put it in the bank. And you know what I see with putting it in the bank? The least we can do is when we come together as believers, edify each other. That's the least we can do. You understand? That's the least. When we come together, you can pray with another believer. You can encourage them. You can let God work through you to encourage each other. That's the least we can do. If you are too afraid to get out and share with somebody who's not a believer and sow some seed out there, then come and fellowship. Do that at least. But do something with the life and the talent and the spiritual gifts that God has given us. We need to do something with it. Don't bury it. Let it out. Let him work through you. Because even if he had just done that, that would have been enough. That would have been enough. He would have been rewarded. Lord, I pray that today that none of us will be. And if we are, Lord, I pray you will show us those areas that we are wicked and lazy servants. That you will reveal that, Lord, so that we can confess it to you, so that we can become servants that bring honor and blessing to you, that we can become servants that do your will, that accomplish your will, that sow the seed of the gospel to places that it has never gone before, because, Lord, you ask us to do that. That is a task that you have given us, but, Lord, you have given us your Spirit to do it through us. And so, Lord, forgive us when we complain about our situation, about our disadvantages or the lack of advantages in our life. And Lord, I pray that we will take, even if it's seemingly little, that we will take it and we will bring it back to you and lay it at your feet and say, Lord, do with me whatever you want. Work in my life. Work through me. I want to bring glory and honor to you. And the only way we can bring glory and honor to you is to do your will, because only your will has significance. Only your will last for all eternity. And we can be a part of that. And if we are a part of that, then we inherit those good things that you have for us. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, Lord, we thank you for that today, and we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.